from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Supreme Court loses its way by legislating from the bench and what it means for you. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. In a surprising move to many, the Supreme Court on Monday decided to change the Civil Rights Act of 1964 by redefining the word sex to mean sexual identity, which was not the original intent of the law. We'll be talking about this ruling today with Senator Josh Hawley, former Senator Jeff Sessions, and then Tony Perkins will share his thoughts a little later in the show. But first, here's Missouri Senator Josh Hawley with Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Senator, I listened to your speech this afternoon on the Senate floor, and I'll have to say it was one of the most direct speeches that I've heard on the floor, calling out your colleagues, calling out legislators who sit back and allow the courts to rule on these things and basically legislate from the bench because lawmakers don't want to do it. They don't want to be held accountable.
Yeah, but the sad truth is, Tony, that almost all of the laws in this country are made either by unelected bureaucrats over in the agencies, or they're made by courts. And let's not beat around the bush. What the Supreme Court did yesterday is legislation. I mean, they rewrote Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. They changed its terms. They changed its scope. They changed its application. And we know it's legislation because Congress has considered doing exactly what the Supreme Court did yesterday. Congress has considered doing that and has decided not to on multiple occasions over the decades. So this was straight up legislation. And the truth is that that's not what our Constitution envisions. That's not our constitutional order. And this is something that has to change.
So, Senator Hawley, why is this ruling so significant?
Well, for a couple of reasons. I mean, the first thing is that by inserting effectively the term sexual orientation and gender identity into Title VII, it radically changes the scope and application of that title. This could have effects from everything. It will certainly have effects in employment law. That's obvious. These are employment cases that were up before the court. Likely to have effects in sports, school athletics, other forms of athletics under Title IX, because anywhere the term sex now is used, in the 1964 Civil Rights Act and its follow-on statutes, it's now been effectively changed by the U.S. Supreme Court. So it doesn't just affect that one section of this one statute. It affects everywhere. And so certainly I think you'll see effects in sports and athletics, major questions there, major questions for churches and for church schools and for church charities and religious organizations. Their status now, their ability to hire or not according to their faith, their ability to require folks to adhere to behavioral standards according to scriptural tradition or the traditions of their faith, that is very much now up in the air. And the Supreme Court admits that, Tony. In the opinion, they say, yeah, these are important and open questions, and they'll be the subject of future cases.
I read that, and that was concerning to me because it was like they lit a fire alongside the road and said, you know, whether or not this turns into a roaring blaze that will consume everything in its path is yet to be decided. But we're going to light the fire today anyway.
Yeah, and stand back and watch and see what happens. I mean, it is no comfort to religious believers of any kind or any persuasion to hear the Supreme Court say, yeah, you know, your ability to conduct your ministry and your church, your synagogue, it may be completely upended. We'll just have to find out later. And Tony, this is why courts don't legislate, is because they're not supposed to anyway. It's because legislatures can gather evidence, have hold hearings, where they can write the bill in a very specific way. But that's not what the court did. The court adopted a sweeping rewrite of the statute, and now we're stuck with it. And this is what I was saying today. This part of this is the way we've gotten here is religious conservatives, evangelicals, conservative Catholics, conservative Jews, religious conservatives have been asked for too long now to basically be the silent partners in the legal conservative coalition. We've been told that, listen, you just be quiet. You supply the votes when it's needed. You do as you're asked to do. And maybe you'll get some judges who will protect your constitutional rights. Well, that's clearly not happening. And it's time that we change the bargain.
Yeah, I've been in this post for nearly two decades, and that play has been run multiple times and the outcome has been similar in almost every case. And you made that point on the Senate floor today that, you know, I think we've come to a point where, look, these judicial nominees, and I know you were criticized for this because you were asking questions of a judicial nominee. In fact, you had people, I would say, of the same persuasion, conservatives, I wouldn't necessarily say in your own party, but they were conservatives who were going to run ads against you because you brought this issue up and just asking questions, which is, quite frankly, what you're supposed to do. We defended you, had you on the radio program talking about that. That's how we've gotten here, is that we don't ask those probing questions, and I believe we should. And this should prove this once and for all, that those hard questions have to be asked.
Well, we just can't be in this posture of just, oh, hey, trust me. You know, just listening to the same old people saying, trust me, you know, just we got this. Don't look too hard. Don't rock the boat. I mean, that's what the establishment has said to religious conservatives for years. I mean, for decades. You're exactly right, Tony. Yeah. I mean, it's decades now that we have seen this and we have been told this. And we've been told, listen, you keep your concerns to yourself. You shut up and go along with this process. And in the end, you know, maybe you'll get something out of it. By the way, the something that we're supposed to get out of it is what all Americans should get out of judging.
Absolutely.
And that is fair application of the Constitution of the United States. Religious conservatives don't want special favors. We want our First Amendment rights and those for all people to be protected, and we need to start insisting on that.
Yes. In fact, Professor Robbie George, Princeton University, former member of our board at FRC, he put out a blog, a statement in part that said this, quote, the tragedy of the Bostock is that despite Justice Gorsuch's desire to practice an authentic textualism, he failed to provide that, just as previous Republican appointees Sandra Day O'Connor, Anthony Kennedy, and David Souter so often and often spectacularly failed to provide it. Such failures always wound the rule of law. Coming on top of so many other cases in recent decades, this one may finally discredit it in the eyes of many who have struggled to retain their faith in it, end quote. Do you agree with Professor George?
Oh, I think he's exactly right. And I think it really, for religious conservatives, people of faith who have labored here in the vineyard, so to speak, I think that this result, it really is going to cause people to question, what is it we've been doing? I mean, what is it we have been working toward if this is always the result at the end of the day? We have got to do better than this. And that's why I think I'm ultimately hopeful, Tony, about the future, because I think that what's going to happen out of this is religious conservatives of all persuasions and of all faith backgrounds who belong to that coalition are going to stand up and say, we're not going to be quiet anymore. We are going to put forward our ideas. We're going to raise our voices. We're not going to just be content to be relegated to the back. We're going to come up to the front now and lead. And that would be a good thing for this movement, for the country.
Yes, I could not agree more, Senator Hawley. And I want to go back and I want to underscore for our listeners and for those who are listening who are not necessarily with us, that we're not looking for justices that would legislate from the bench in the way that we want. We're actually content with the process by which laws are passed in this country. We simply want those on the courts that will adhere to the Constitution and the true meaning of words. This is, to me, Senator, this is very dangerous when you can change the definition of words 40 years later, because that means we have no foundation to stand on. If we can change the language, we can change the words through the very laws that we agree to be governed by, we have a really, really big problem.
Well, there's almost no point in writing down the laws. I mean, we may as well just let the justices just tell us what they think should be the right policy in any given case. I mean, why have the laws written down at all if the words are not going to hold the meaning they had at the time? I mean, the point here, Tony, is that the Supreme Court, the majority, admits that the way they're reinterpreting the statute is not what an ordinary person who would have heard this in 1964, would have read those words in 1964, they wouldn't have ever thought that the meaning of the statute was what the court says it is today. Well, that should be the end of the inquiry right there. I mean, that's what originalist textualism is. Now, I want to add a caveat here, similar to yours, in that, you know, Justice Gorsuch, who wrote the opinion here, this is not a personal critique on my part of Justice Gorsuch. I don't really know him personally, but he's clearly a very able jurist. I think he did this in with all good faith, and it's a very able opinion. I mean, this isn't a stupid opinion. The problem with it is not that it's badly reasoned; it's that it's wrongly reasoned. So I question not him personally, but how we got here. How is it that all of our defense of textualism and originalism gets us to a point where somebody uses those words and those terms, but to reach a result, as you just said, that actually has almost nothing to do with the text?
I don't know if it's just me, but it seems a bit ironic that in the opinion, they tried to defend this opinion in line with textualism, but they redefined the word sex. So how can I trust them to actually have the right definition of textualism?
Exactly. I mean, this is just a case where the court is substituting its own judgment, and that is against the Article III power, contrary to the charge that they were given. And for religious conservatives, Tony, I think bottom line is we've got to stand up and say we're not going to take this anymore.
Well, Senator Josh Hawley, we're grateful for you standing up on Capitol Hill, consistently raising these issues. Thanks so much for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about Josh Hawley when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, as we come up on the end of our fiscal year on June 30th, we have a $1 million challenge grant where every donation you make to FRC will be matched. Just visit tonyperkins.com and click on the challenge match banner just below the show notes. That's tonyperkins.com.
We all can benefit from a good lecture. They can inform you and grow you. Well, Family Research Council's new weekly podcast features lectures by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast addresses issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday of this week, former Attorney General and U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions joined Tony Perkins with his take on the Supreme Court's recent decision effectively rewriting the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's always good to be with you.
All right, let me just put those two questions before you. Why did you think it was important for your Department of Justice to uphold the biological definition of male-female in the word sex?
Well, we thought it was plainly so. There is no way that anybody would reasonably contend that in 1964, when the Civil Rights Act was passed, and it protected one against discrimination based on sex, that they meant anything other than biological sex. They certainly didn't mean that this was going to alter bathrooms so males could go into women's bathrooms, at least male physically, nor that biological males could compete against females in athletic events. They would never have passed such a law. So it was never intended that way by any fair reading, but it bubbled up. The Obama administration took the position, along with the ABC agency, EEOC, that it did cover transgender people, whatever their sexual identity was. So when the litigation started, Obama defended that position. When I became Attorney General under President Trump, we reversed it and took the position that the statute did not mean that. The statute meant simply biological sex, and nobody would have ever imagined otherwise. It's just a very, very dangerous and frustrating decision because, you know, Justice Alito, one of the great, great justices on the court, said there's only one word to call this opinion, and that's legislation.
Right.
Not law. He said it was preposterous, and that it was a brazen abuse of the court's power. So we're in this position where judges seem to feel it upon themselves to decide social policy questions that Congress has rejected. As you know, Tony, Congress, a lot of talk about changing the law to include transgender, and Congress has not done it.
Right.
They refused to do so. They get forced to do that which the people's elected representatives would not do. Not a role of the court.
And to Justice Alito's point, this is beyond the constitutional authority of the court to legislate, is it not?
I certainly believe that. Fundamentally, courts do not legislate. They take an oath, and that oath is to serve under the Constitution and the laws of the United States, under them. They're not above them. Their oath is to serve the law as it is, not as they might wish it to be. And I remember, Tony, I'll just share this little anecdote. Justice Roberts, when he came around to be up for the Supreme Court, and we talked in my office, I was a member of the Judiciary Committee, and I'm not sure, but we discussed a neutral umpire, that a judge was an umpire and couldn't take sides in the game, and that was probably later when he testified, he used that phrase. He says a judge is a neutral umpire, calls balls and strikes, does not take sides in the game. And so I remember that. I don't think he honored that.
As the top law enforcement official, as the Attorney General of the United States, upholding the laws of this country, I mean, we saw this under the Obama administration. We began to see this lawlessness. The Attorney General under him held in contempt of Congress for not providing information to Congress. We've seen this lawlessness break forth. Let me ask you this question, Senator. When the court goes beyond its constitutional authority, isn't that also a form of lawlessness?
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And good and dutiful Americans, good people, church-going, good, decent people, try to do the right thing, can't, you know, acknowledge, well, we'll accept the rule of the courts. And I have, you know, accepted opinions I vehemently disagree with. But I tell you, these two cases, today and yesterday, have made me rethink it. I cannot have the same degree of respect for the courts as I used to have. And I think the court is on a dangerous path. If it loses the confidence of the American people, the rule of law is in danger.
Senator Sessions, I could not agree with you more. Because I think whether you're wearing a black hoodie looting a business or you're wearing a black robe redefining words that people count on, it's all the same. And it gives rise to lawlessness and a disrespect for the law.
You can find out more about Jeff Sessions when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'd also encourage you to help FRC continue to produce this radio program and have your financial gift doubled during our $1 million challenge. Just visit TonyPerkins.com and click on the challenge banner just below the show notes. That's TonyPerkins.com.
What are you reading this season? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at FRCblog.com. The content on our blog is written by policy experts, FRC staff, and outside contributors. Read about a range of topics from world abortion leaders exploit pandemic to advance self-managed abortions, and online outreach, how to continue fulfilling the Great Commission during the coronavirus. Stand for truth and stay informed at FRCblog.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With so much going wrong in the world around us, FRC President Tony Perkins took some time on Wednesday to share his heart and the heart of Scripture on the times we live in.
Jesus warned us that these difficult times would be coming. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, when he talks about the kind of the end of times, he says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, The love of many will grow cold. The love of what? The love of God. The love of truth. We can't shrink back. In fact, as Jesus was talking to his disciples and praying for them over in John chapter 15 and 16, he closes out chapter 16 with these words, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." How do we maintain our outlook in difficult setbacks like this? I don't make any excuses. I think this is a teachable moment. I will never again take a nominee on face value. I don't care who tells me what. I want to see the record. And I think this will be a teachable moment for the administration. I certainly hope so. But we can't shrink back. We can't be fearful. We can't retreat. We need to have an eternal perspective. By standing for truth, even in the midst of great opposition, standing for truth even when it's not in season, or maybe open season on the truth, what we do is we're a testimony to the truth. And recall what Jesus said? The truth will make you free. We're to testify to the truth. You know, we're not here to win an argument. We're here for something much bigger. We're not here to just win a Supreme Court case. We're here for something much bigger. We're here to be a testimony to the truth so that others might come to know it. It was nearly 100 years ago, at 95 to be exact, there was another court case. It was the state of Tennessee versus John Thomas Scopes. It's better known as the Scopes Monkey Trial. It was in Dayton, Tennessee. A teacher violated the law by teaching evolution. It was the focus of national attention, as it was at the same time the theological battle between Orthodox Christians, what were called fundamentalists, and the liberal mainline denominations who had jettisoned Scripture. All of that was unfolding. And so this was really the tip of the spear of this battle. Well, those who believe the Bible won the court case. But the liberal media, the elite, descended upon this and mocked the Christians, attacked them, and essentially sent them into the wilderness for about 50 years. They retreated. And look back during that time that they were in retreat, and the seeds of the moral and social chaos that is gripping our nation today were sown. Now, they weren't reaped until later, but they came. And it was because so many Christians left the public square, intimidated, fearful. We can't do that. We cannot retreat from our call to stand for truth. Now, I will tell you this, we've seen tremendous success on so many fronts in the last 3.5 years. Of course, our hope is not in government. Our hope is not in politicians. Our hope is not, as Scripture says, it's not in chariots, it's not in horses. We'll trust in the Lord. But that doesn't excuse us from being involved and being engaged in this world. We need to have an eternal perspective, but we need to be engaged here and now, knowing that, you know, we may not prevail in the political, we may not prevail in the cultural, but we will prevail ultimately when we stand upon truth and we stand in the power of the Lord. It's another aspect of this. How do we stand? I'm going to go back to, you know, really what is a life passage I close the show with every day. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where, we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength is not to be in ourselves. We will never prevail in our own strength in this culture. And in fact, as the culture becomes even more hostile, the faint of heart will be overrun. And that's what Jesus said, that the love of many will grow cold because of the lawlessness. They'll be intimidated by it. There'll be cowardice will set in. fear of man. We've got to be strong in the power of the Lord and in His might. We need to be fully equipped spiritually to stand, not to win a battle, not to win a debate, but to stand faithful for the truth so that others might come to know the truth. Ultimately, our goal is to share the transforming truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we advocate here at the Family Research Council for Religious Liberty, for your ability to live it out in the marketplace, to live it out as parents teaching it to your children, to the students in the schools, to be able to live out their faith as a testimony to the truth, so that others might come to know the truth and might have life and have it more abundantly. Folks, we can never give up. We can be disappointed. We can be discouraged. But our help, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. And we need to look to Him as a source of strength, our source of encouragement, just as David did at Ziklag. When all was lost, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that God has entrusted us with this moment, one of the most difficult moments, I believe, in the history of man, but also one of the most promising, filled with opportunity and promise, if we'll stand firm for the truth of God. Until next time, I leave you with those words. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. And remember, you can find out more about all of our guests and participate in our $1 million challenge at tonyperkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.